Welcome to the Lifestream.net podcast. Good to see you, listeners.
All right, welcome to the second episode of the Lifestream.net podcast. I'm Ryushikaze. I'm joined by Pixel, Arya Stark, better known as Carly, and Trainer Red, all from our forums. Tonight we're going to be discussing our 500 articles on the Lifestream.net, Yoichi Wada reviewing the entire company, a Final Fantasy Symphony, whether or not storytelling has matured in Final Fantasy and other Square Enix titles, and whether or not exclusivity is such an important thing with today's graphics. Before we jump into the first topic of our 500 articles, does anybody have any quick shout-outs?
Mm-mm.
No? Okay.
That's my shout-out.
Excellent.
Hi, Mom. Very nice.
The Lifestream.net just recently had its 500th article, proper article, not page, published. And it took us, 5 years? Yes, 5 years, give or take.
Yeah. Something like that.
To get here. So that's currently up on our website, and you know, there's a lot of things we could say about the article itself, but
yeah, Trace did an amazing job.
Oh yeah, he did an excellent job. And we could gush about it endlessly, but it's better for everybody to read the article. So I think what we should talk about instead is what we sort of, you know, like the most about those past 500 and the past 5 years. And for me, you know, a lot of it was just, you know, contributing the random articles, getting into all the glorious arguments, and especially doing all of the Fans Eye View commentary tracks with people.
Yeah.
Working on your LP, Joe.
Yeah.
I'm still going to call it yours because you do all the heavy.
Yeah, well, it's been great being here from the start. I mean, I wasn't really part of the team that started it all, but I definitely feel like I'm a part of it now.
Oh, hey, it's always good to be a part of something. Carly, your thoughts?
Well, I was one of the people that had a comment on the article, which I talked about my experience in the forum that changed a lot from where I started and now, because before, TLS was just really a place to hang out with some friends and have fun and make jokes and all that stuff. And then eventually I started becoming more active in the forum. I started joining in the commentaries for the Final Fantasy Unlimited Penetration. And
a new official
really
title,
fun.
By the way.
Yeah,
that
is
in Square.
And then doing the commentaries for Final Fantasy VII and Dirge Cerberus, which were also really fun. And
I need to make more of those. I really do.
Yes.
I just haven't gotten around to recording the actual work.
Doing the Final Fantasy IX community playthrough, which was finally the first time I finished Final Fantasy IX. Oh, it was very infuriating to have to wait so many years to finish my favorite RPG of all time, but everything now has been very fun. I really enjoy being more involved in the community and all the projects you guys have made, which have been pretty great.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's it.
All right. Red, what are your thoughts on our past 500 articles in our past 5 years?
I guess my favorite articles are the translations of the Ultimania skins or the anniversary skins because, well, yeah, obviously they're informative, and it's great to see what's going on behind the scenes, or like what's like the game creator's thoughts on a particular thing and stuff like that. And it kind of, you know, builds on like a lot more to the Final Fantasy world in a way. And not much of a commenter, but I do like, I used to comment on the front page articles, but somehow I kind of slipped out of it. My bad.
It's okay.
As I mentioned in the article, I'm still quite amused that our most banal topics are the most popular ones.
Yeah.
And granted, I helped. Only
one in particular.
Yeah, I helped with that one. I'm still amused. It's going strong 15 years later from when it started, and 5 years from when the site started. It's got over 1,000 comments, the article you're referencing, and it is 3 years old now.
I think the last time I checked, it was 500.
Yeah.
Wow. Does it still have comments coming in?
Yes. Every still up it. I check it like once a month and then promptly ignore it.
Yeah. Well, even on the Man Who Travels the Planet, I still get comments on that with people going back and forth with the little triangle debate. It's just one of those things.
People enjoy those kind of things and arguing and debating, obviously, because it's been so many years and this is still going on.
Mm.
And honestly, it is rather frustrating. I don't pay any attention to it anymore. But the article was rather funny when it came out. I really laughed at it.
It's just one of those things that people can't let go, even now. So.
Well, I like even in that the concert that happened a few days ago, they had the little, like within the music, they had Tifa's theme and Aerith's theme sort of playing against each other and playing against Cloud's theme, yeah.
Well, that's just more of an interplay of the character themes rather than, you know, setting them all up as these must be opposed to each other, because playing them against each other is more of like they're holding on a conversation.
Well, they kind of played like Tifa's theme and then the main theme to represent Cloud and then Air's theme, and then it kind of interplayed. I don't know if they were thinking that or...
Well, we can get to that in more detail in a little bit, but first, Yosuke Matsuda, the new president of Square Enix, who's replacing Wada, has said that he is going to... after having succeeded the important role as president, I plan on reviewing all Square Enix duties, business, and assets on a zero-based budgeting standpoint. Due to the radical change of environment, I'd like to fundamentally review what works and what doesn't for our company, then cast all of our resources towards extending what makes us successful and thoroughly squeezing out what doesn't. As far as a concrete plan on what to expect from us, I will further explain it on another briefing session in the near future, so I kindly ask for your patience. Thank you for your support.
So basically, another announcement of a future announcement.
Yeah. Yes, it's specifically wait around a month. I'm probably gonna lay the smack down on some people.
It's okay. We've been waiting for years already. What?
Yeah.
Another month to that.
Knowing that people, you know, is probably going to get the shit, you know, handed to them, you know, kicked up their asses out on the door. That's good news.
Hopefully.
Any bets on which people?
The cynic in me is going to say it might be some of the Eidos developers, because those games didn't, you know, live up to expectations, even though they did ridiculously well.
But they finally did a lot better than the Square Enix ones.
Oh, yeah.
So if anyone should be fired, it should be on the Square Enix side.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I'm hoping that it's not going to be that, but the cynic in me is going, oh, they're going to point the finger at the other company that has actually only given them positive press.
Yeah, but because the other company made Final Fantasy XIII, they've been in the developing not Final Fantasy Versus, and the not developing Kingdom Hearts 3, and the mobile games, that little disaster.
And all the spin-offs.
Yeah.
Yep. And remakes and reports.
And the compilation that keeps on going and going.
The complication.
Exactly. So wonderful. I mean, what happened to the company, Squaresoft, that used to make fantastic games?
The name remained the same. Well, first it became Square Enix. Then all the people who we love from Square decided to form their own companies.
I mean,
ouch.
It pretty much, it all started to, like, crumble when they decided to make the Spheres Within. That's where everything started to fall apart for them.
What is that place? I don't know. It sounded like an elephant or something.
Ooh.
Shut up, Mr. Stompy.
Maybe it was someone from Square Enix that heard what we're saying.
Yes, and they cried out in anguish that the live stream would give them such a terrible comment. They feel utterly betrayed by their own creation.
That's another thing. They should pay more attention to what the fans want. Because they seem to be oblivious about what's happening with the fans, what's actually happening with video games now.
Yes. Give us more tactics games and a few more Vagrant stories. Okay, thanks. Yeah,
I remember with Final Fantasy XIII, I was a little naive back when the game was about to come out, and I thought the game was going to be good. But it came between Dragon Age Origins and Mass Effect 2. And after playing Dragon Age Origins, I moved to Final Fantasy XIII, and I just realized how much ground BioWare had gained over Square Enix. It was embarrassing.
And BioWare is not the best either. So.
Yeah, and still, they're taking into consideration Mass Effect 3 and its ending.
Well, even the ways that they, you know, managed to, and in much lesser ways, they fucked up several times in their other games. And they do this a lot. BioWare has high ambitions, but doesn't quite execute them.
But they're still coming. They still look a lot better than Square Enix.
Oh yeah, no. I'm not disputing that. I just want to set that to suggest where they are in comparison. And we can bring this back up when we actually get into the story topic. But before that, there is one more bit of news, and Pixel, I'll let you hold this one because you're the one who knows the most about it. Tell us about that concert.
Well, this was held in Germany on May 11th, just a few days ago. It's called Final Symphony. It was organized by Thomas Boker. Boker? Yeah, have you guys listened to the concert?
No.
I've only listened to a short part of it. I need to get the time so I can listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, well, there's if anybody hasn't listened to it, it's on YouTube. Just type in Final Symphony. It's really amazing. It covers three games: Final Fantasy VI, X, and VII.
Mm-hmm.
And VII is definitely the best part of it. Final Fantasy VII alone lasts 40 minutes. The others last, I think, 20 and maybe 15 minutes for VI.
I am rather sad that they didn't include Final Fantasy IX. Which has some of my favorite music from Final Fantasy. And speaking of Final Fantasy, the soundtracks from most of their games, some of the best music I ever listened to in a video game. And I have a lot of their songs on my iPod. It's really the only set of video games that I can say that, because I do have music from other games, but not in the number that I have for Final Fantasy. Even games that were really old, the music is still amazing. So that's one of the great things about them, about Square Enix and the music they make for their games.
Yeah.
What I have listened to was excellent, but, I mean, pretty much I've yet to really hear a proper, you know, Final Fantasy symphony that was terrible, so. But
it's
this
hard,
one,
too.
Yeah.
Make it terrible.
It's very good, very good music, so.
Yeah.
I've thought of a wonderful present for you. Shall I give you this pear?
Aw, thank you. Mmm. 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 Mmm-mm-mm. Mmm. Good pear. What do you laugh at? Oh, the juice all down my t-shirt. You planned that, right? You're fucking evil.
I want Cloud to know this is my doing. I want the humans to know this is my doing.
Damn you, Sephiroth!
Now then, on to our feature discussions. The first one on the docket is, are stories getting more mature? Or is maturity being used in place of more coherent, better developed story? Put another way, are the stories getting more mature, or are fake mature stories being used as a substitute.
Hmm.
When I ask this question, I really am thinking about Final Fantasy Tactics, the original one. And I'm not going to compare all the games to that, certainly. Like, the advanced games were never even meant to try to be as mature as that. And I do not mean that in a mature subject matter, well, you know, like blood, guts, and swearing, mature, but in an actual, like, this is a serious, mature topic. It is about betrayal and fate and fighting against, you know, society. And that's an extremely mature and well-developed story. And let's look at, you know, well, 12 was excellent, and it was mostly in the same vein, which, you know, you would expect, considering it's another Evilly story.
Well, it's the same writer as well.
Yeah. I believe you're right. Yeah. But look at 13 and 13.2 and, you know, Revenant Wings as a comparison in that same line. And granted, Revenant Wings I don't think was meant to be all... And it's still actually fairly mature in its subjects, but it's very much a lighter story.
With Revenant Wings, since the story is now more focused on Ben and Penelope, they're still basically teenagers. It's hard to make it as mature as Final Fantasy XII was.
XII and Tactics are very politics driven. It is a more mature, like, it's one of those words that is thrown around in video games, like, left, right, and center. But I think that's what makes it a mature game, the politics. And it's not about, like, cutie kids running around, like...
And I understand that the subject matter necessarily means it's going to be a bit more mature, but one of the things that I was thinking of was specifically the maturity of the telling of the story, and in many ways how it was... it let a lot of things simply go unsaid and just implied them. And it did so in an, and 12 did this very well, very sublimely as well. It simply allowed the events to play out, and the conclusions and the Aesops just drew from them, you know? Like, the actual undercurrents of the story didn't need to be spelled out, whereas in a lot of other games, it seems that we're being very explicitly told things, even if, you know, there's still a lot of politics, because there is still a lot of politics in a similar way, like in 7 and in Crisis Core, but we are much more overt and direct in those stories, and the stories themselves feel, you know, less fleshed out.
Yeah. Well, 12 had a very kind of Star Wars-y kind of feel. That, you know, there was that... There's a lot of history there that wasn't explained, but it's there. You can feel it in the world.
You have a lot of XP's from Star Wars into Final Fantasy XII.
Well, you always do, actually. If you really want to try, you can pretty easily map a general Final Fantasy to Star Wars characters. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't hurt that, you know, Biggs and Wedge are always in the game.
But in particular, you have Valtir and Fran being obvious XPs of Han Solo and Chewbacca. Only the relationship is a bit different.
You're right. Fran and Valtir are something like monkeys.
And Chewbacca and Fran completely alike to each other, physically and in their behavior. It's like looking in a mirror.
Oh, he does have a nice arse.
Good on Pixar for noticing that.
Just imagine Chewbacca's in Fran's bustier.
Oh my god.
Well, he's already wearing heels, you just can't tell.
I think the maturity in Final Fantasy XII was probably one of the reasons why there was a lot of people that didn't like or understand the game for what it was. I mean, I remember that I had a little bit of that when I played it as a teenager. I really did enjoy it, but it didn't really I didn't really see it as one of my favorite games. I started going back to it a few years later when I was older, and I'm like, this game is a lot better than what I thought it was before. Mm. And I started to appreciate more the political aspects and everything about it. So it's an underappreciated game. It's a great game. It has a great story. It doesn't have, like, something that hasn't been done before, but it still was done very well. The gameplay is really good. That's why one of my favorite things about the game, it was the gameplay. They took out the random battles, which really annoyed me. Mm-hmm. In previous games, you knew where the monsters were, which was also good for me, because if I didn't want to fight a monster, I just ran away really fast.
Yeah, being able to decide when and where the battles go or, you know, happen, not from a storytelling standpoint, mind you. Well, it makes some sense in a meta standpoint of the monsters don't suddenly just appear. But no, it's a great thing to let people focus on story and let you actually, you know, focus on building the story. And Tactics does the same thing. There are some random, battles on the world map, but if there's going to be a battle, you're told ahead of time there's going to be a battle by the map itself. And almost all the every battle in, that isn't a complete random battle, even a few that are, in Final Fantasy Tactics led to the story, and literally there was no time out from the story, even in battle.
And it was one of the first games that I started actually wanting to do the optional stuff.
Yeah, I think the optional stuff I kind of got trapped into doing and then kind of didn't do the actual story part for a long time.
A lot of people said that. I mean, that played the game, started doing all the optional stuff, and they're like, wait a minute, I need to get back to the actual story of the game. Yeah. They got so hooked into the optional stuff, which is really good on their part.
Like, for me, it was 12. I had spent a lot of time trying to get used to the battle system because it was completely new to me and stuff. So I guess the plot for me kind of moved along really slowly because I kept taking time out to, you know, to learn how to do gambits and grind for license points and items, and I just didn't have enough gil for, you know, so-and-so equipment, so I took a lot of time out just grinding for that stuff.
Well, do you think 12 was aimed at a different market or a different age group? Like, we're talking about maturity.
Yeah.
I don't think it was aimed for a different group, but it wasn't meant for a different group.
The writer definitely thought whoever was going to play it was going to... They were not underselling their actual audience at all. And maybe they were overestimating them, but I find that's generally a better thing than underestimating them.
Yeah.
Well, I think looking at what we've seen of Versus so far, I think that looks, I don't want to say darker, but it does look more mature. Even in the trailer, there's blood. This is the first time I think we've seen blood in a Final Fantasy at all, really.
From the things that were suggesting that was going to happen in that game, which we don't know how much of those things actually do exist right now, it did look a lot darker and more mature than previous games, but we don't know how many of that is actually going to be on the game.
If there's even going to be a game.
We can always hope.
I thought it seemed a lot more edgy than mature, because I don't want to spoil myself too much on the plot. So, and they haven't released that many details about the game story.
Well, it's based on Hamlet, or The Lion King, whichever you like.
Oh God,
Simba the White Lion. Thank you very much.
That seems like an odd thing at the time than a movie, an animated movie. about animals could be great. Inspiration of Hamlet. I'm not sure the Final Fantasy can pull the same thing off.
Well,
if you look at Macbeth with owls, I mean.
Well, but then.
And actually, technically speaking, I mean, Final Fantasy has already done Shakespeare. It's called Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yes.
So, there you go. Also, it's technically done The Lion King in Kingdom Hearts, so there you also...
But that's different.
But no, like, compare 12 and its sort of the expectations that it had for its audience to 13 and 13.2 and the expectations, that story had for its audience.
I think it failed.
Well, not just whether or not it failed, but, the way it was treating the audience.
I don't think 13 was really trailed for its story. I think it was trailed for its combat system, because that was a big part of the trailers. They didn't really show that much of story. Even Vanille was... She was sort of revealed quite late on in the development, if I remember correctly.
No, I think she's actually one of the original.
And Sarah definitely.
Well, they're actual characters, though. She was originally supposed to be the main character until a trailer with Lightning that happened, and then she became popular, and they changed it to her. So.
Which is a bit of a shame, because the whole game would, I think the whole narrative of 13 might have gone better if Vanille was the focus, but...
Well, she definitely needed more focus, but she didn't need to be the focus. I actually think that part of the problem was that, and this is going to sound bizarre, no one got enough focus. We were bouncing between people too much. We didn't get enough focus on everybody's story. Yeah. Granted, part of that was, and we were also the corridor shooter game for a while, because there was no backtracking and everybody. And we really, what we should have done was started on media res, have them be on the planet, go into flashbacks that take you into the chapters, have free roam, areas out there. Basically just play around with the way that you tell the story, and they told it very linearly, very sort of straightforward, point A to point B until the very end, and I just thought it was not as well done, and that's part of why I was wanted to talk about the maturity of the telling of the story itself.
Well, one of the problems, at least for me, was that it seems more like an ensemble cast than... This is the protagonist, this is the main focus of the story. But the problem was that most of the characters weren't good, especially Snow and Hope, which were off. So, and I cannot properly express
that. Oh god, Snow.
Yeah. We needed more focus on Saz and the other ladies.
And Fang. A lot more Fang. I don't understand why.
Well, that's why I said the other ladies. Fang, Vanille, and Lightning,
And Fang.
And Fang. Did we mention Fang? She was in the... She came into the plot with...
And the Sugar Bell.
Yeah. Especially the one with Sash head.
Yeah, the baby chick.
You can make a game about his adventures inside the Afro.
It's called Chocobo Dungeon 3, and it's unfortunately not coming out, but it would be
awesome. I would have bought it.
Yeah, literally just a cutesy, roguelike dungeon game where it's completely done in 3D and in the style of Final Fantasy 13, where you're just the Chocobo chick wandering around inside Saz's fro, fighting horrific, horrific giant monsters.
And looking for wheat, because I remember specifically that Sash did ask about the wheat killer.
Yes.
So I'm guessing it has something to do with his afro and the mini Chicago. But with the characters, Lightning was pretty good. I was impressed, because I didn't really have a lot of expectations about her, especially with her association to Cloud and most of you know, and I don't like him at all. And then I started playing the game, and like, okay, I actually do like her. But it was dividing the characters two on this side, and the whole concept, you're walking around, is you can see the linearity of the game. Because you're just walking around a corridor from point A to point B.
To be honest, Final Fantasy VII was actually quite linear, but I think...
And they all are. Let's be perfectly honest with ourselves.
But the key to good game design is to trick your audience into not seeing that linearity.
Yeah, and the problem with 13 was the linearity was very obvious.
Extremely obvious. Yeah. And...
like, Final Fantasy Tactics, which I keep going back to as being this paragon of storytelling, is literally railroading you at nearly every turn, but it does so in a completely natural way. And I say that knowing that it literally does that by removing stuff from the map so that you only have to go one way, but there's literally the explanation in the story is... we don't want to stick around here, the army's on our ass, you know, and it's not a, you know, this is literally after you've defeated them, and it's not, oh shit, there's endless reinforcements, it's, we're going to go so we don't have to deal with more people, or, you know, we've got to get here before they beat us to this area, so.
With me, the part where it became a little more, a little less linear was when you get to Pulse, but there's also nothing there, just... monsters and monsters and monsters and nothing to do. That was basically the point where I said, nope, I can't do this anymore, I'm out. Because there was nothing. I was bored. I was starting to think about different ways in which I could kill Snow and Hope, and that's the point where I realized, yeah, I need to put this game down because I'm trying to think of very elaborate ways to kill video game characters. I just play something else. Really, the only part of the game that I enjoyed was the part where you're using Lightning and Fang. That was really the only part of the game I enjoyed, and that's just because the thing where Fang gets to take a Lightning's boob and then she slaps her. Not just because of that. They were really good together. They worked really well off each other. Their banter was really good. And they were really good characters. Yeah. That was really the only point of the game that I really enjoyed.
I think it's the first game where we've seen a well-rounded well-rounded female character, but two. Like, I wouldn't really class Vanille in that.
No.
Like, but Fang and Lightning, probably Lulu as well.
Well, I mean, there's Agrius, and, I mean, granted, before that, you were talking about much simpler stories and where everybody had a cipher, but I think Terra and Rosa and Rydia got about as good as, you know, a story as all the other not-the-main-character people in their games.
Yeah.
Well... I think Kane probably got better than them, but Kane was literally the primary rival, you know, secondary hero of four. But like, and Ferris also were, because a large portion of the game was, like, the fact of Final Fantasy V is Bartz is a, I'm a hero, so they literally needed the other three characters in your party to be the bulk of the actual story at any given point, and they generally were very good at it, so. But yeah, no, 13 was actually on that front pretty good about having, you know, very good self-actualized, you know, I am here, I am doing my shit, don't get in my way, you know, characters who happen to be female, not, I am a female character, and this, you know, it wasn't the fact that they were female was their defining characteristic. Mm. It was, I'm going to do this, oh, and I'm a woman.
And if you get in my way, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
And before that, the game that I would remember that had females like that with Final Fantasy IX, with Beatrix and Freya, specifically the part where they're fighting together. That's the only other game that I can remember characters that were like Lightning and Fang.
I would still give credence to Agrius from Final Fantasy Tactics and, you know, several of the I mean, because in that game, you know, granted, most of them are generics, but there's tons of competent female fighters, both generic and actual, you know, named characters who are pre-generated, like Iss. You know, and granted, everybody in that is different, because even your main character, Ramza, who is literally fighting two massive political factions and the church just to save his sister from God, spoilers, by the way, is generally polite and reserved right before he cracks some spells. So, whereas Agrius isn't, I'm going to fuck you up. Agrius is, you are going to return the princess, or I am going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
So, she's very formal, she's very polite, but she is not giving up.
Well, on the downside, there was Vanil, who most of the time really annoyed me. And then there was Sarah, who, in spite of the fact that she was voiced by Laura Bailey, who's one of my favorite voice actors, I hated her. From the moment she started talking, especially when you find her and she tells No, is that my hero? I was done with her. No.
Mm-hmm.
How is she even related to Lightning? I'm just saying.
I think she got all the recessive genes.
I think that was kind of the point, that she was this girl that needed protecting and
from
everyone.
Snow?
from both Snow and Lightning, they felt that they needed to protect her. And then, you know, you go into 10-2 or 13-2, and she's it's same with Yuna. You know,
she's going out and kicking ass or whatever.
It just seemed like trying to make her more of an action girl. I wasn't going to play a game with her as a protagonist. I barely could stand her in the 5 minutes she was in Final Fantasy XIII.
And the difference between 10-2 and 13-2 was that 10-2, Yuna had always had, you know, this drive, this imperative to do crap, but she was limited by, you know, literally the religion and the state of the world. 10-2 is literally her going, okay, what now? Oh, there's this? Sure, I'll do that. That sounds like fun. Whereas 13-2, Yuna, who, or not Yuna, Sarah, who doesn't seem to have a whole hell of a lot of impetus, just sort of gets thrust into things.
Mm-hmm.
And it works, sort of. I mean, as I said before, 13-2 has sort of a Chrono Trigger vibe, and that's a really high compliment that I can give it. It doesn't do it perfectly, but it's, you know.
No, I think 13-2 was written as a game concept first, and then the characters were thrown into it. I think that's the way a lot of sequels get done. They think of game mechanics first, and then kind of work around it.
Hell, I'd actually like that better. Give me an interesting gimmick, and, you know, a decent story, and I know this has come odd since I've been talking about the maturity of storytelling and all that, but if you can give me an interesting gimmick, I'll forgive a lot of story if you can, you know, hold my attention with that. Hell, I forgave 13 for, you know, a lot of its faults because I like the battles, so.
My question is how did they went from the plot that 13 had, their adventure to 13-2 and time travel?
A wizard did it. Except it was a goddess. Because gods always fuck things up. Because that is the moral of 13. The gods fuck things up.
There's like no connection between those two things. The plot of 13 and the plot of 13-2.
Maybe, but do you know what I'm like 90% convinced of? that 13.3 is actually going to set the stage for Versus.
Mm. Oh, God.
Okay. Yeah, and that's why they're waiting on releasing it. Because they want to set... Because it is still theologically related to 13, and they need to set up the gods being sufficiently fuck-ups to explain everything and why they're invading modern-day Tokyo.
Unless... What some of us have mentioned, that Versus is going to be turning to Final Fantasy 15, which I know some people don't like it, but I do, because I would prefer it. They already screwed up with the game, because we're still waiting for it, and it's been, what, 7 years? Or eight? I lost count.
I think eight years.
The game is not gonna do very well being associated to Final Fantasy 13, because there's still a lot of people, myself included, that do not like the game at all. So,
well, yeah, no, I don't think it should ever come out with the 13 label. So if it came out as Final Fantasy 15, I'd be fine with that. But from what they've released, unless they completely change things, then it does have a teleological, cosmological connection. It may not have any of the same characters, but it's got the same grander metaphysics involved.
What is up with the Final Fantasy 13.3? Is that the actual number, Lightning Returns? I don't understand the name at all. It's like we're watching the video game version of the Batman movies. That after this is going to be a reboot, and then you're going to see the darker, more realistic version of Final Fantasy 13.
No, what's happening next is we're going to see the 1966 camp version of Final Fantasy 13.
No.
And I think we can all agree that that is the most mature version of that story we will ever see. And having said that, I think we can safely move on to the discussion of graphics, because we're nearing an hour mark. So, Pixel, this is your baby, so would you like to lead us into this one?
Are pre-rendered FMVs really needed with graphics as good as they are on current platforms?
Well, in a way, yes. In a way, no. And I say yes simply because it's many ways it's actually a lot easier to construct an FMV to play at a particular time. And so in that case, it might be needed to, save on processing real quick while you load up something else. So basically, it can be used as a less intrusive loading screen.
Yeah.
But also no, because graphically speaking, we really do not need them.
Yeah.
They do exactly what they do in engine most of the time.
Well, Final Fantasy is known for these big, spectacular things, but are there other games that... other companies that use FMVs the way Square Enix do?
Capcom, with the Resident Evil series. And they do that actually on their PS3 and on their handhelds. I'm trying to think of any other games in their recent lineup, like within the last few... They've actually been rather light on FMVs in their fighting series. Though come to think of it, speaking of games with FMVs that are fighting games, there's the Soul Calibur from Namco Bandai, which the Tales of series are very big on FMVs. Yeah. So they do a weird thing of splitting the difference, where half the games will have FMVs or cutscenes based on in-engine graphics or anime graphics.
Yeah. Well, Tekken has always done those kind of ending sequences for each fighter, which I've always really liked. Metal Gear Solid 4 was completely in-engine, and I didn't really see any need for FMVs. But I think with Final Fantasy, there's always this need for... Well, not need, but we expect this spectacle... because Square Enix do these amazing video sequences.
It's like one of their signature things in their video games, to have the FMVs. But what I've seen with other video games, that they do the FMVs, high graphic things, in their trailers. They don't actually do that in their games. It's just... It's, their trailers are high graphics and all that stuff, but the actual game does not have any of that.
Yeah.
I think that's the point of advertising, though. It's like, ooh, look at all this eye candy. And it's not usually there. So.
The job of advertising and the job of marketing is to lie to you in a way that gets you to buy the product. Sometimes that lie will contain the truth, but it is still a lie. Like, ever since the very first games, Final Fantasy, and all other video game commercials too, let's not just limit it to Final Fantasy, but they've been lying, misdirecting, and completely bamboozling people with stuff that's barely in the game, not in the game, has nothing to do with the game, but gets your attention. I mean, Final Fantasy IV. Do you know what its early ad blitz was? And an ostrich running along the beach.
Well, for a chocobo thing?
Yeah, that was it did have the chocobo thing going on behind it, but that was it.
Wait, for the SNES version or like the GBA version?
For the Japanese SNES version.
Oh, okay.
The SNES American version had somebody who was playing it for so long that he... I think aged 80 years or something. It was weird. And he was playing it obviously out of order, and it didn't make any sense, the commercial. Final Fantasy VI Japan, its ad campaign involved I think it was really early CG, but it was a woman, an American woman, I'm fairly certain, dressed up like a Tina, because she was Tina in Japan, Tara over here, on the Magitek armor, suddenly appearing in the streets of downtown Tokyo. And the tagline for that was Final Fantasy is invading. And the Final Fantasy III US ad campaign was Mog zapping monsters into the cartridge.
I remember that commercial.
Yeah.
Clearly I'm too young for that because I don't remember any of that.
And it goes on, like the Final Fantasy VII Japan commercial was literally all about, look at our polygons, look at our polygons. It wasn't necessarily like stuff that was not in the game or teasing you with the FMVs and not the graphic, you know, not the in-game graphics, but it was not actually telling you anything about the game except we've got these graphics, we're putting all this effort in, and, you know, the Final Fantasy VII US one was pretty much, look at our FMVs! And so Final Fantasy VIII one, and so Final Fantasy IX one, so Final Fantasy X one. I think 12 finally got into...
Yeah, I think it did, actually.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Square Enix got into a bit of trouble with showing PS3 footage instead of Xbox when they were advertising the Xbox version of the game.
But they got so used to being the PlayStation that now that they have the Xbox, they probably forgot. They just, oh yeah, our games are for the PS3. Oh wait, now we have the Xbox too. The Final Fantasy VII is one of the first games I remember the commercials and all that stuff because at least to me, Sony really did a good job promoting the game. I mean, it was everywhere, and I hadn't really seen that with most games at that time, and I was 7, and I still can remember seeing all the commercials and all that stuff and all the promotion material. They really did a good job.
Oh, yeah, no, they did an excellent job promoting it. It's just they filled their commercials with complete bullshit.
Yeah, like the one saying, the one with Sephiroth that I hate that can never be.
Oh, yeah, there's that one. There's the,
beyond the edge of reality lies a story of ultimate conquest, a story of war and friendship, a story of a love that can never be, and a hatred that always was. And now, the most anticipated epic adventure of the year will never come to a theater near you. Final Fantasy VII.
And it was just sort of like, wow. Almost none of that is true.
But at least it got you interested.
A cast of millions, you know. And actually, no, it didn't. I did not see, you know, either of those commercials until, you know, much later. I decided to buy the game on the merits of seeing the game. And on the strength of the previous, you know, entries that I'd played, because I'd actually played Final Fantasies 1, 2, and 3.
With what you said about Final Fantasy 4, honestly, if the Chocobo thing is playing, I will buy it. I will buy it.
Speaking of that one, and there was a an ad campaign for the Final Fantasy remake for the GBA.
Mm-hmm.
It was tied to go in with the GBA Micro for some reason. And I'm not sure, well, I guess because it was coming out at the same time, but it was this Japanese pop singer who was playing the game, and then suddenly she was in this really over-the-top Rosa cosplay. And that was the commercials. Various variations on that theme. This all comes around to FMVs. A lot of the times have been used as being something that's better than can be actually rendered as eye candy to sell a game, and we definitely don't need that anymore because we can actually do that on the fly, and all we need to do is actually put it, you know, get the models which actually have the requisite polygons which we can render on the fly. It's just we generally don't want to. Like, as an example, the Xenosaga games, which are by a completely different company, but they literally use, if not in-game assets, or in-game character models, stuff that looked exactly modeled after it, just at slightly higher detail, because they were doing higher model resolution. And some of their cutscenes were FMVs, some of them weren't, but even a lot of the ones that weren't were using the same models as the one in FMVs. So in that case, you know, I can see why they'd use the FMV, because it's a big thing, it's got a lot of assets to take care of, and they just don't want to bother rendering all those on the fly. I can understand that, but is it strictly necessary? No, because they can do it, you know, in-engine now. So, but it's a question of effort and reward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and an example of the FMVs and that would be Uncharted, which
yes.
The graphics in the game are fantastic, mm-hmm. in of itself, and then you have the FMVs. It's basically like you're watching a movie. So playing those games, it wasn't never an issue to me, but the games are that good, so.
But that's also an excellent, different. Especially for Uncharted 3, because in a way that neither of the previous two games did, it seamlessly integrated its FMVs in its live footage.
Yeah, the scene where the plane crashes in the sand, oh, it was beautiful.
And, you know, Final Fantasy tried to do that at several points. Like, in 8, there are several times where the background is actually replaced by an FMV,
mm-hmm.
And the character models are overlaid over it, and they are adjusted on the fly to show up, and literally at some point, they finally just, once you get to a certain point that you're funneled at, finally the rest of the FMV takes over, and they swap out your character model with the FMV model and just do it at the right time. And it's a fairly good transition. And if they're using them like that, sure. But I think we can do that in engine now, so I don't think it's strictly necessary to rely on FMVs. So.
Yeah.
But if they do it well, then and they can do, like Uncharted, that they do a seamless transition, then it isn't really an issue, but it's Square Enix, and wow.
Yeah. I mean, we don't need to. Can you still do them? Yes. Just don't lie to us, please. It really sucks. Especially when people keep believing the lie years later. Because people will come up with all sorts of, you know, notorious bullshit, and believe it as fact. We don't need the advertising campaigns helping things. Whether it be with, you know, graphics, the story, or anything. Because, egads, we don't need, you know, another R equals U based on some inane FMV only, you know, error that cropped up or, you know, other ridiculous nonsense that some of the early FMV screw-ups caused. I really just, we are no longer at the point where extra snazzy graphics have to be pre-rendered.
But, I mean, because you're looking at the things that the next generation consoles can do, it seems like they can do those very detailed graphics in the game that the FMVs just seem completely unnecessary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unless you're going to do something really spectacular with the FMV.
Yeah.
Or it would take considerably less effort for no loss in quality, then I don't see why you'd bother. So, it's just a load time and it can, you know, take you out with a sudden jump in quality, and people are a lot more demanding of graphics nowadays, so.
Well, something like in 13, there's that, when they're on that casino ship thing, there's that big spectacular show that they put on. There would be no way you could possibly do that in engine.
Not in that specific engine, maybe not. But,
maybe in the next-gen consoles?
I don't even think you necessarily need a next-gen console. I just think you'd need the right engine that could handle all of the effects. Like, you could totally have done that in engine on a ton of PC game engines. Some of the Gambrio engines could handle that easily. And I think the Valve Source engine could also probably handle it under its latest build. But, that was certainly much easier and much of a less of a process restraint to have that be a pre-rendered flat image.
Mm.
So, that I don't blame them for doing, mostly because it didn't, it actually did not present a fake jump in quality, and it was essentially just, you know, eye candy that it wasn't actually used, as far as I know, to sell the game, so no harm, no foul.
I was just thinking about, pre-rendered FMVs in the Dissidia games, and for some parts of it, it didn't work out for me, because I can't really put my finger on it, but, I guess the pre-rendered FMVs for Dissidia didn't play out so well.
Some of them were good. Some of the ones that they jumped to in the middle of the otherwise low-res cutscenes, those were less well done. But I can see some of why they did that, just because the PSP is a limited platform. I don't think... if they ported it to the PS3, I don't think they would have been necessary. I think they could have done it all with, expanded, better done in-game models. So, I do think part of the question is what the actual hardware we're talking about is. So, for portable titles, FMVs probably still are necessary.
Yeah.
Will be until either somewhere down the line with the Vita or the next generations. And, of course, it just depends on what you're actually doing with them, because some games can exist entirely on in-game graphics, even if they are absolutely terrible. Comparatively speaking, such as, you know, the Game Boy Advance's Mega Man Battle Network games, which had nothing resembling FMVs except for, you know, a couple of splash images, and told their story just fine. With that said, I think we can call this the close. I'm Ryu Shikaze. I'm joined, by Pixel, Carly, and Red, and we're going to be on the livestream.net. Why aren't you?
Yeah.
Join us, folks.
We'll leave you with a lovely piece of music by Ilsine from OC Remix. This is Terra in Black.